Welcome to Local Matters. I'm Louis Matheny, and I'm in the studio with Steve Jones. Steve, I've often referred to you as being in my top 10, top 5, if I had to narrow it down, restaurant icons in all the places I've lived, and that includes New York City and Chicago, as well as the places I've traveled. Let me just start by asking, how did you get started in the business?
Wow, we got to go way back, way before Spanky's days. So I was in college at Tennessee Tech University from 87 to 92. And through all those years, I would go back to New Hampshire to teach a sailing program up there. And I would teach sailing all day long. And then my roommate, Melissa Syracusa, ran a really cool place called the Old Ferry Landing. It was a really cool vibe right on the Piscataqua River, deck overhanging the tugboats, and she would bartend and manage that great place. And she taught me the ropes, and I would teach sailing all day and then come in there to have a beer at night. And sure enough, somebody wouldn't show up, and I'd be bar backing by sunset and then closing the place down. And it just turned into a weekend kind of thing after I was, teaching the sailing program.
You know, I never thought about the fact that, as you're telling me this now, that you are a water guy, really, and you live at a lake, right?
Absolutely. Live on Center Hill Lake. I've for a long time, since 97.
But you do boating on there?
Absolutely. Yeah. My son and I race sailboats together. Our family has been boating and sailing our whole lives, water skiing, and JJ, who owns Spanky's here in Cookeville, he is a huge barefoot water skier.
And, no kidding.
He was my first tie to Center Hill Lake.
Wow. Yeah, so I never thought about that. You still are combining both the things you were doing, your passions from now, from all the way, back then. When did you start at Spanky's?
Wow, great question. Let me prelude that a little bit. I met JJ actually over a cocktail. We ran into him at a place called Grady's that no longer exists here in town.
I remember Grady's.
It had live music and was a fun place.
Yes.
That was probably 88 or 89. And we hit it off, and he told me, hey, if you ever need some part-time work while you're here at college, come by Spanky's and see me. And it would have been a little after that, probably 89. I stopped in, maybe 90, and said, hey, if you told me to stop by. I'm looking for a little part-time stuff. I don't graduate until 92. So, well, I wrote down my phone number on one of those little guest checks.
Yes.
He scribbled it down and hung it up on a bulletin board in the back. And
right.
I never heard anything from him for months down the road. And then one day, I guess somebody didn't show up at work, and he called me and said, hey, are you still interested in some work? And I said, yeah, do you want to come in and have a little interview or something? He said, no, I want you to come in and work. So literally I was, leaving my apartment there and over at the restaurant in 15 minutes. And I was literally clocked in and working.
Right.
So that was probably 1991 when that actually took place.
It ties back to that old story from a couple of years ago in which parents would teach children to swim by simply throwing them in the pool of the water and saying, swim back to me, but you'd had water experience, so therefore you were able to jump into this one head or feet first, it sounds like. So that's pretty great. I never knew that story about it and how that it ties to the fact that you're still doing, the same thing. The restaurant business is, to me, a very high-pressure job and one in which you are meeting the needs of untold numbers in 1 minute. And would you say that you're a version of the term grace under pressure naturally, or did you have to be trained or train yourself to be that guy who never seems to crack under pressure?
I don't know. I've always been pretty calm most of the time in work and personal matters and all that. I think it works out the best that way.
Yeah.
But being able to stay calm and focus at the task at hand to certainly, creates a better atmosphere and gets everybody excited and happy.
You know, right in the middle of the sentence, you said something very important, which is, I think it works out best that way. So it's just a matter of you're being practical, and your objective is for everything to work out, you know. So that's just sort of a knack that you have. You know, I've watched you bartend, and when you're in bartending mode, could you estimate this? What would you say is the average number of drinks you can produce in 1 minute? And by average, I mean an average ranging from a slow night to a crazy night, and say popping a beer cap to mixing a mojito or Long Island iced tea.
Well, that's all over the board.
Right.
Wow. So if you're just talking average, popping caps, right, you could roll that 1 a second pretty easily all the way through that minute. So 60 or so, but
I never thought about that. So 60 beers a minute. Okay.
And yeah. Or, you know, you can slow it down and you're mixing a pretty complicated, you know, old fashioned where you're getting the bitters and,
yeah,
you know, simple syrup. And
right. Do people still ask for things like a Long Island iced tea? I know mojitos are very popular.
Absolutely. Right? So, you know, there are core drinks that have been around for a long time.
Yes.
You
know, yeah.
Long Island teas are one of them.
Yeah.
We have Long Island tea night every Thursday, and they're on special for $3.50, and people absolutely love those things.
I've noticed in not even recent years, it's been some years now where bars add or restaurants have the word teeny added to the end of their drink name, rather, you know, an apple teeny or a martini, and it all starts from martini, and
a martini.
You know, a martini purist is very different from a person that would drink an apple teeny, but I haven't heard for years people say the old drink names like a Tom Collins or a Sidecar. Do you still get asked for those from time to time?
Tom Collins, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sidecar, not so much.
Yeah.
And some drinks have just gone away, like Harvey Wallbanger.
Harvey Wallbanger.
From the 50s and all that, that, you know.
What were some of those names? Do you remember some more of them? Those are tough, right? Because they don't get said out loud anymore. You know, they used to be on, in New York City, the paper placemats that you'd go into in the classic diner that served drinks would have literally, you know, a drink list suggestion, and you'd have an image of the drink with what it was called and its ingredients and that kind of thing. So, but yeah, that's kind of, you know, gone away, I think, over the years. So, you know, going back to Spanky's history, for example, I seem to recall that there was a shop next to Spanky's when I was a teenager. And the place at the time, Spanky's at the time, was, I think, called JJ's. Take us through the history of Spanky's and its names and interior changes, if you're able to. And I think you know those prior to you working there, right?
Well, absolutely. JJ opened up way back in 1973, and it was Jay and Jay's Deli at that time. I believe, and you'll have to chat with him sometime about this, but it was Joe Wilmoth and John Josephson were the two J's.
Right.
And it was J&J Deli for a while. Then it morphed into JJ's Deli, which is John Josephson.
Wait, I'm sorry. So all names included, there were technically three J's, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking with Steve Jones from Spanky's, who in some ways is sort of a history expert on the place. So go ahead.
So we're talking opening in 1973.
Wow.
And through all the 70s, it was either JJ's Deli or J and J's Deli. And then Spanky's kind of came to light in the early 80s, probably about 81 or 82. And then it was Spanky's Pizza, Spanky's Home of the Spud, and it kind of had its own little personalities as
yes.
Spanky's.
Yeah.
And then Spanky's, as we know it present day, opened in 1992. In the summer of 1992, the restaurant referendum was voted in that allowed full liquor and wine to be had at a restaurant. And we got our act together, and everything changed around, and the bar moved from one side against the wall of Spanky's up to the front and all plumbed in with coolers and everything.
Wow.
And that was open December 7th of 1992.
Gotcha. I can barely remember its interior from years ago when I would have been a teenager, but I seem to recall that there were foosball tables, and that was a big deal to a kid who would have been 14 or 15 years old. And it didn't serve booze in, right? So a teenager would have been allowed in legally. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. We were too far from, or too close, excuse me, to the school proximity to have any beer license in, for Cookeville rules. But later on, the liquor by the drink rules overseded that and enabled us to do it.
I feel like in some ways, if I look back on it, we as teens felt like it was a place that was that JJ, the owner, had thought of for college students and for teens, a place to go and hang out, to have healthy fun and without the risk of there being, you know, alcohol present or something like that. Or that's how it felt at the time. However, I wasn't allowed to go in. I don't know. I think my family didn't know what was inside, and therefore I wasn't permitted to go in there, or I think even be on that street. But we're talking years ago when, you know, parents were much more strict and were worried about things like that. And that has all changed. To me, I will describe it to people as a campus restaurant, really, you know, that's on the campus of the university, even though it was sort of just at the edge of it then. The campus is spread in that way. So,
right. So Spanky's is really a unique place. It happens to be right next to campus, but we are truly a local place where the mix of Cookeville professionals and Cookeville teachers all come to mix with students and their kids. It's a pretty neat place.
I agree. We are talking to Steve Jones today on Local Matters, and Steve has some great history to tell us about Spanky's, formerly J&J's and formerly JJ's, and we'll hear more about that after we take a quick break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm in the studio with Steve Jones of Spanky's Restaurant in Cookeville, and I happen to be wearing today one of the only original Spanky's t-shirts from the early 80s that was mine when I was in college in Cookeville, that I found in the attic of the house I grew up in some years ago. Steve, would you read the front of it aloud to our listeners?
Wow, that looks like it came from 1980. I sure will. It says, I like it, I love it, I can't get enough of it.
So that shirt has been one of the best icebreakers or conversation starters when meeting new people everywhere around the world, in New York City where I live, in Chicago where I live. Of the three it's, I like, I love, and can't get enough of it, the question from total strangers is almost always the same. What is it? Many times my response is a short sort of guru or Yoda style, it is whatever you want it to be, which generally has people more curious. And then I turn around and show them the back, which reads, and I didn't realize this actually is still one of the phone numbers for Spanky's on the back. So would you read the back for us?
Oh, absolutely. Spanky's 931-528-1050.
And home-style pizza. So as you were saying before, JJ has been smart enough over the years to bring not sort of fads into the restaurant, which come and go quickly, but a different selection on the menu that sustains it for a great period of time. So it was known for a while as a place for its pizza. But then I remember specifically in college always the two words going together, Spanky Spuds. You know, what do you want to eat tonight? Spanky Spuds. So Spanky Spuds, right? A whole menu with a variation on potatoes.
You're spot on. So it used to be Spanky's Pizza, and we had all those great pizzas that we made right there in the back of the restaurant. And then the sign out front said Spanky's Home of the Spud. And the spud was, well, it was kind of like a stir fry. So we had a veggie spud and a cheesy bacon spud and,
right.
and you know, beef and broccoli spud. And you could just pick your items and put it right on this giant baked potato.
Right.
And you got to remember, back in those days, the kitchen was open to the restaurant with kind of a clear piece of glass, and the grill was right there, and you just ordered on the left-hand side, and you watched the cook put your spud together right across the grill and served it out to the other side.
That's so funny. I don't remember that at all. I remember the spuds themselves as being, you know, these full meals that us college guys would take home and eat. It was very economical. You know, they were priced right for the average person. So how many different, do you remember how many spuds there were?
There was a whole spud menu. There were at least a dozen spuds.
At least a dozen spuds. Wow.
And you could create your own at the time.
Right, right. Right. How long did that last? Was that, say, a year too long or less? Or
that was mostly all of the 80s, actually.
Wow.
Right into the 90s. Now, we did a big remodel, and once we got to be a full-fledged restaurant in 1994. And out came that cooking line in spring of 94, and we built a wall back there. And you may remember there were flour sacks that were on the ceiling. And
no.
That was the ceiling.
Wow.
So now, of course, there's a proper ceiling in there. And that was all the flour sacks came out off the ceiling in 1994.
Okay.
And we stripped Spanky's all the way down to the bare walls. And all that was left was the barnwood and the Coke bottles.
The Coke bottles. I was going to get around to that. That's the thing I can always remember from my earliest visits there. Were those there from the beginning, once they had the first?
Now, that's going to be a JJ question.
Okay.
So I'll tell you, and from my experience, I first showed up in Cookeville in fall of 1987, and they were there then.
Yes.
And they've been there ever since.
My earliest memory would probably be about 1975, and I could swear they were there then, but who knows, you know, as time passes. And the amazing thing is that it really speaks to how well beverages are bottled, in that they are really airtight, and none of that Coca-Cola inside has evaporated in all those years, I don't think, right? Do you guys ever sort of look at them and say, I notice a quarter inch down from last year?
No, we clean those quite frequently.
Yeah, and they are so clean.
And they've never evaporated.
I think that for locals, we'd kind of take them for granted at some point. They're just in the peripheral. They've always been there. But I think that what some people may not realize is that people that do come to Cookeville to visit Spanky's, that have heard of it from out of town, it's probably all over Instagram and Twitter feeds, the Coke bottles at Spanky's, because it's such a unique idea, this wall, if you will, or separator, and yet not a complete separator. You can see through them to other people, and it sort of keeps the flow together, which is kind of nice, you know. So you know, it seems like that JJ, the owner, has a knack for making changes that aren't gimmicks or fads, but are ideas that literally meet the needs of a client base. I'm in the studio with Steve Jones from Spanky's, and I'm going to ask him, Steve, would you agree that JJ has a great business instinct and has had for a long time?
Absolutely. Fantastic. And, you know, truly at heart, JJ is a chef first and business person second.
That I didn't know.
And he travels all over the country and the world looking for individual, neat food dishes. And he, you know, takes that dish and he makes it better and he creates it. So JJ's love is in the kitchen and creating and coming up with this great menu and all these cutting edge dishes.
Yeah.
And truly a great, great chef. His business aspects are phenomenal as well, and we've managed to, you know, stick around for almost 50 years now.
Longevity, I was going to say, is the dream of a lot of, you know, restaurant bar owners or the hospitality industry in general. But more often than not, they don't get longevity because they don't have that business instinct, great instincts. As do you, I feel like, you know, as the person that manages this and is this host, even though you're not the maitre d', you're sort of the host of the party for the evening, you know. So I think both of you have great instincts, you know. In some ways, I've always thought that JJ and his restaurant, and especially you as this host, manager, and mixologist extraordinaire, should be a reality show. Has anybody ever suggested that to you or JJ?
Wow, that's a great idea. Most people say I should write a book, but a reality show would be...
Yeah.
The book would be quite interesting. Of course, we'd have to change the names.
Yes, of course. You know, one of the things that makes you great is that you've never used that slightly annoying, trendy word mixologist to describe yourself when you're in the bartending role. You've never acted the part of the star bartender or been one of those to be a show-off bartender who spends more time, I think, doing manual dexterity acrobats than actually getting the drink made. Your drinks are great, I think, because you're the world's fastest chemist or alchemist.
Well, that's flattering, Lewis. Thank you very much. So, you know, everybody has seen Cocktail with Tom Cruise spinning drinks and doing all that.
Yeah.
You set your stopwatch and you count how long it takes to make one, you know, cosmopolitan martini. And then you factor in you have a full restaurant and six servers in the well that are all screaming for, you know, glasses of wine from five different varieties and cocktails and, you know, now craft beers of, you know, 10 different varieties and all that.
Yep.
And flair has no place.
Right. You know, it really is a service industry. And I think that this it's fairly recent phenomenon for me, you know, at the age that I am 58, I'd say in the last 10 to 20 years, you know, especially in the last 10 to 15 years, this rise of these star bartenders or guys that think they're star bartenders, if you will. And, But you actually are able to create a drink in a quicker amount of time, and it's a better drink in many ways, you know. And I've always marveled at that. You know, your speed, your accuracy, I can almost see it in your eyes, and yet you stay so cool and calm. And even though you're in the service industry, you don't seem like somebody who's in servitude or on show. You just get the job done. You therefore lead. Even though you're in the service industry, you're a leader, if you will, you know. I mean, you're leading the night, I think, would be the way to say it, you know.
Too kind, Lewis.
Well, you know, Spanky's has for years been cool, you know, literally cool. And I've always thought your calm demeanor is, and I don't know how, poured into every drink and into every conversation you have with customers. Can you argue against the notion that it's your personality that sets the tone for the night?
Oh, interesting. So... Spanky's is such a neat place. We are a family of friends. You know, you have all these corporate places that you go in there. You don't know anyone that's in there. Spanky's is, when you walk in the front door, I know most people by first name at least, right? So you want to talk to those people. You want to make them feel at home. You want to get to know them. We are a Spanky's family. So... I don't know. I think that personality that goes along with that and makes people feel welcome and happy and excited to be out, it goes a long way.
Are you that guy I'm going to love seeing there when I'm 100 and you're, I don't know how old you are, but let's say you'll be 70-something. You know, in New York City and Chicago, some of the most beloved people are those restaurant icons who have been doing it most of their life, and they happen to be some of the coolest, kindest, friendliest people I know. Do you see yourself as one of those legends at 70-something?
Well, I hope so. Well, I've been doing it for 30 years about, and JJ's been doing it for close to 50. So, you know, we've got some longevity here, and we'll be having a 50th anniversary party in the near future, I would say.
I didn't know that. So let's see, one more time, 50 years. So what year would that be actually?
That'd be 2022. So 2022. Right around the corner, just a couple years down the road, it'd be 50 years.
We need to get a song out now like Prince had for 1999. We need to get somebody to write a great song for what's going to happen in 2020, you know. I mean, I personally will see you at the helm of Spanky's for years because I'm going to be there as long as it exists. And, you know, this is now my primary home, and I travel between several homes. But I really, once again, I can't emphasize how much that to me Spanky's is that sort of what they talk about in the Cheers theme song, a place where everybody knows your name. And you exemplify that, I think.
Absolutely. We consider ourselves like very, very similar to Cheers, you know, a modern day Cheers with with professional people from town, with college students, with professors, with, you know, the local guy that is the Mason. I mean, and all of their kids. We're all of it.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Local Matters, and an extra thanks to you, Steve Jones, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Lewis.